is.
Being in Children's Church, appreciate your ministry. They have a good time. Appreciate all you people. Well, I think, Hollis, we got time for you. Glad to have you.
Glad to be
May
here.
May the Lord bless you and encourage you right along.
Good morning. How's everyone? We got this show off the road eventually, didn't we? We're going to open with prayers, and then we're going to go into our readings, and we're just going to read them all in order. So I'd like to open with a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you to be in your house today, an opportunity to serve you and learn about you and your love for us and how you are the true shepherd of our life if we choose you to be our shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Read.
Reading number one.
One.
It's from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
John 10:3-4. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice.
1 Peter 2:22-25. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Revelation 7:16-17. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Thank you. Thank you for reading. Before we get started this morning, I got two little stories. One goes along with the service. The other one goes along with what I learned on Tuesday at the pastor's prayer meeting. I was there this past Tuesday, and I was sitting with a pastor from another church, and we usually get together and talk about, you know, how we can be better pastors and how we can just do better. And I was really just sharing my fears that supposed to start this month, first Sunday of every month, I'm supposed to preach here and take a place for Brother John to have a week off. And I was sharing with this pastor that Brother John has been doing this for so long, and he's so good at it, and he seems to be flawless at it, and it's like he could do it all by himself with no help. And I was, you know, and I was sharing with this pastor that one of my fears was, I don't know if I could ever, you know, get there with everything like he can do, and how many years did it take him. And this pastor's been a pastor for a while. And he shared with me that he doesn't do that because he can't. either. And I was like, phew, thank you, God. You know, and then he introduced me to a lady that was sitting beside him that he called his worship leader, one of his two worship leaders. And then I started picking her brains. I went there to pick his brain about how he does it all by himself. And then he pointed out to me that he doesn't do it all by himself. So I started picking her brain. And what came to my realization is I can't do this without the body of Christ. That I need the Osbournes here. I need I need y'all to help me. I need the body to help me.
We need
you too. You know, that I need you guys. That this is a we program. You know, I kept hearing all morning long in my head, you know, Christ saying to me, two or more, two or more, two or more. Not you, two or more. You know. So each Sunday, first Sunday of the month, you guys better expect that I'm going to be asking help from y'all, you know, because I need y'all, you know, because without the body of Christ, I'm nothing, because Christ works through the body, and that's how he works through me and to me is through you guys. I was studying about a month ago on some literature, and I come across this pastor that was doing a series on YouTube. He's from England. And I went back to try to find his name, and I can't find his name. I couldn't even find it again. But I did not forget the story that is told, and I want to start with this story that he told that touched me and got me thinking and got me asking the question, am I as smart as a sheep? You know, as a human being. And he told a story that he was a gentleman from Britain. He had married a young girl from out west somewhere in the United States. She came from a farmland. They did cattle and stuff. And they had went to the motherland for the first time together. And she was amazed that these shepherds were all over the place with these sheep, and they had no branding on them, had no marks on them. And she was just amazed, and she asked him, how in the world does who know what? How does this one know this, this, this? And he said, we'll go to the marketplace, and we want to sit down, and we're going to eat, and we want to watch something. I want you to watch something, and we want you to watch. So sure enough, they went at lunchtime and went to the marketplace and sat down, and they got to eat, and they started watching these shepherds come with these flocks of sheep following them. And all the sheep started mingling with one another out in a pasture, and all these shepherds sat down, and they started eating and talking to one another. And he said they sat there for 10 or 15 minutes watching this, or a little longer, and then all of a sudden, one of the shepherds got up, walked 50 or 60 yards away, and stopped, and called a word in Aramaic, and a group of these sheep and all the flocks all raised their head. The other ones kept their heads down. Then he called something else, and all that sheep left the herd and started following this shepherd away. That amazed me. There's many shepherds in the world that can call to me. But when the true shepherd calls, will I hear his voice? Will I raise my head? And will I know to follow? Do I know who my shepherd is? Have you ever seen a sheep that's got lost and got away from the flock and away from their shepherd? They get scared, they get afraid, and then they start crying. Sounds like somebody killing a baby sometimes. And they get so paralyzed they can't move. Sometimes you'll see pictures of shepherds carrying a sheep across the shoulder back to the flock. And people say, why do you do that? Because that sheep has been so paralyzed it can't move. It's afraid. And he just comes and gets it. And by the grace of God, it's not just the shepherd that hears that cry. It's also the wolf. The wolf's in the wild. And if the shepherd don't beat the wolf there, there's nothing left to carry home. See, I've been that sheep. I was having a discussion the other day with an individual disagreement, and they pointed out that I still don't quite look like a great man of God. And that's true. I'm not. I am a sinner. And it's only by the grace of God that I stand here today. It's only Jesus' grace that gives me the opportunity, because I've been that sheep. I should be in prison right now. Or I should be dead. This is where I should be. I know what it's like to be a sheep that's lost from the flock and his shepherd. I know what it's like to have all your greatness up here fail you. I know what it's like to be in the doorway of a church curled up in a ball, crying like a baby to God to just let the pain in. That I can't do it one more day. To serve me up to Satan, do whatever you need to do, but let this that I'm going through in my soul in now. Because I can't hold it another day. And by the grace of God, my shepherd spoke and said, are you willing to do what I want you to do now? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I am. Whatever that is. See, I didn't want this. I didn't want to be here Sunday morning. This is where he told me he wanted me. And I'm like, okay. So that's what we're going to focus on today. Do I know the true shepherd's voice? Am I going to follow it at all costs, no matter what it causes me on this earth? In Psalms here that we read, the thing it is, it pointed out, Psalms from David, that it pointed out was, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's from the Old Testament, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And who is the Lord? Who is my Lord? Make no mistake about it, it's Jesus Christ. That's my Lord, right? And in the New Testament, it's going to identify this, and I'm just going to take things out of these scriptures that stuck out to me personally, that affected me personally as I looked at them. You know, John there, he points out in John 10, 3, 4, it points out that the gatekeeper, do I know my gatekeeper? And do I know who the gatekeeper is? And do I realize there's only one gate into salvation? Once again, my Lord, my gatekeeper is Jesus Christ. It's the only way in there. He's the gatekeeper. And they know his voice. And they follow to their shepherd, to the gatekeeper. Do I know his voice? Do I? Do I listen to his voice when other voices are in? Because it happens to me all the time. Other shepherds' voices of this world are in my head, wants to show me something great here on the earth that I should be, that I should put my emotional and spiritual security in. Oh, if I only just get this all straightened out, everything's going to be all right. You know, that I'll just be there. You know, I'll be at peace. See, the sinner in me wants me to be okay right now in peace in this world. The Bible makes it clear. It's probably there was no peace for my Lord and Savior in this world. What makes it think that there'll be any peace for me in this world? If they persecuted him, what makes it think that it won't persecute me if I choose to follow him? He said they would. He said they would. And I know my Lord's not a liar. And I'm willing to take that persecution, no matter where it comes from, and stand up for what I know to be right. But I want to be okay right now. And that's the great lie. Satan tells us there's no okay right now in this world. Because it's not my physical well-being that's at risk here. And it makes it clear right there in 1 Peter 2, 23 through 35 that the overseer of not my life, not my finances, not my greatness, but my soul. My soul. What is my soul? My soul is what connects me with God. And Jesus bared the price, paid the price for that soul to stay connected to God. It's the part of me that is created in his image. It's a part of me that I need to let out into the world. Because without my soul, without my connection to my Lord, and making sure that I have the right overseer of that soul, I am a filthy, worthless sinner that is not worth the dirt of this carpet. That's who I am. That's who I am. It's the Lord's blood. It's my Savior's blood that washes me clean. It's his prosperity that gives me value. Not my works, not my greatness. I was telling Brother Osborne earlier that I coached baseball for years. And I told him I knew when I was doing a good job as a coach or not, and it was on game day. And it was when I was sitting on the bucket and I was doing nothing. That my team was on the field, they were playing, they were automatically adjusting to two-out depth. If they did, if they had a pull hitter, they recognized it was a pull hitter at the plate, and they shift automatically. They knew where they were at all times in the game. And I knew that I was the least I had to do in a game the better I was as a coach. And I realized that today as a Christian, the least that I have to do, and the more I allow Christ to do and follow His lead, the better off I am. And the better the game of salvation will go for me. So make no mistake about it, I have a lot of Peter in me. A lot of Peter. And it's in my nature that I want to pull my sword off and cut your ear off in a blink of an eye if you cross me. Or if I think you're crossing something. Because I have Peter in me. You know, I looked at the 12 disciples and I realized that you can find all the deadly human flaws of mankind and one of them somewhere through the 12. They represent, you know, and unfortunately I have multitudes of all of their flaws. But by the grace of God and Christ again, somewhere or another, I have brief moments that I step out of that and I look more like Christ and I look than that wretched thing that was born into sin of this world. And for me, I have to do that every day. Every day I have to seek Christ. I was raised Catholic. And it was John Wesley's theory that we got a daily reprieve and we stepped over and we had to work and have vigilance and walk with Christ on a daily basis is where our salvation lied, was seeking God's salvation every day and not just doing it today, you know, and then figuring, you know, well, I really worked real hard today, so I should be good for 3 days. Doesn't work that way for me. If I work real hard today and I don't do nothing tomorrow and I get focused on making money, property, prestige, making other people of this world happy and trying to, you know, do the shells, old Peter shows back up with his sword and starts wanting to cut ears off. I've got to seek Him in everything and believe everything else after that will be okay. It'll work out just the way it do it. You know, here in Revelations, the thing that sticked out to me is it says the Lamb, the center of the kingdom, of the throne, the center of everything. And the kind of center it's talking about is the kind of center that a top has. You ever seen a top spin? If it ain't perfectly bounded, it can't stay up. Christ is the Lamb. He is the Lamb. And He is the center of the throne of all of His Father's kingdom. And through Him, I can stay up if I make Him the center of my life. And then God will wipe a tear from my eye. And the kind of tear that God's talking about, this is symbolic of pain and suffering, that all the pain and suffering that I know on this earth, all the suffering that I've seen, all the fears that I have. And I fear crazy things. I fear things that are really out of my power. The two most important men in my life was my father and my son. I loved them both and adored them both. Two most important men in my life. I can't tell you that I know for a fact that either one of them went to heaven. That's a fearful thing for me. Fearful thing. I can tell you attributes that they both had that was godlike. That I could see the God in them in both areas, but I don't know where they were at in that last moment of their life. I wasn't there. My biggest fear after my son died, my biggest fear, was not who killed him, not how he died, but if he was right with God. Biggest fear. And I would pray the same prayer, because fear will make you do crazy things, make you have crazy thoughts. See, Christ wants us in faith. Satan wants us in fear. Because fear will make me hopeless. If I become hopeless, I start feeling worthless. If I start feeling worthless, then I'm useless. I would pray to God after my first prayer was to God after my son died was, if he did not make it, if I can do something to make it, allow him to take my place in your kingdom and allow me to take his punishment, whatever that may be. That's the Father's love. And I say to you today, our Father hung his Son on that cross to take our place. He bore our punishment so we'd get a second shot to be in his kingdom. So my question to you, do you know your shepherd? Are you following your shepherd with everything? And you're not letting a false shepherd lead you away with promises of greener pasture that don't exist. Me and my wife was talking about the retirement plan the other day. She's a great planner, way better than I am. You know, she's always... only have one retirement plan today, and it's to be in the kingdom of my Lord and Savior and be a servant to him forever. That's my retirement plan. Because I do realize that everything I know passes away on the face of the earth as I know it. Things will come and go, and none of them will stain me forever. Because I'm no longer embattled for anything of this world or what you people or the world thinks or doesn't think of me. I'm worried about my soul. Is my soul going to be back connected in eternity with my Lord and Savior? Or I'm going to be cut out to the herd and left to the wolves? And that's my choice. It's It's not God's choice, it's my choice. So seek the shepherd and not a shepherd. Alma, will you come up and close us in prayer? Thank y'all for letting me bring this message to you today. And please remember, the first Sunday of the month, I'm going to need you guys. I'm going to need y'all. Thank y'all. And God bless y'all all.
Thank you, Father, for this day and for all of us to be able to be here and in your house where we're free to do this. There's many places in this old world that we're not free to come like this and be together in fellowship, listen to the message from the Bible that we know is God's word. Thank you, Father, for that privilege. Thank you for each of us being here and safety drive home, safety for Pastor John and Kathy. As they're gone, others of us that might need prayer at this time. Father God, for all the unspoken prayers that we might have and through the week before we meet again, may you go with all of us in our hearts and minds, and our souls be yours. In your name, dear Lord Jesus, amen.